And welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. We're joined now by Seren Petro, 810 WHB in Kansas City, host of the program weekdays, Monday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. And somehow, some way, you know, we do about an hour-long show. Sometimes it goes a little bit long, but usually about an hour every weekday out here in North Central Kansas. But Seren's got to fill 4 hours of programming, he and his crew in Kansas City, and not a lot of actual games taking place. It's quite the challenge, and that's why this man that I'm about to have on the radio is being paid the big bucks, let me tell you, to provide the best information out there when it comes to really no athletic competition taking place. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Let me know where those big bucks are going, because they haven't quite made it to my bank account, so I'd like to know where someone's holding them.
Well, I know where the big bucks are. It's in Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones' bank accounts, which leads me to my first question for you, and that is, have the Chiefs contacted you about negotiating some long-term deal with you so that you can get those big bucks?
Yeah, that was our joke on Wednesday was, okay, so who on Tuesday are we announcing, right? So
right.
This is going to be a weekly event, big money deals that make Chiefs fans giddy about players that are now signed for the long term, but probably going to be sitting around, you know, watching European athletics come this fall. You know, listen, it's great for Chiefs fans, and you know, everyone joked around like early on when the pandemic first, you know, got underway and got started. And they said, you know, this would be just so Chiefs-like, right? If that we'd gotten to the Super Bowl and then, you know, everything got shut down, that would have been so Chiefs-like. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think we might be headed towards a Chiefs-like moment in the sense that we win a Super Bowl in Kansas City, and then bring effectively 22 starters. Now everyone says 20 starters, but the two that aren't back are Stefan Wisniewski, who was stepping in for Andrew Wiley, and it was Fuller, who was stepping in for Juan Thornhill. So really, you know, effectively, they're going to have all 22 starters back and ready to defend a Super Bowl. I think the only more Kansas City-like event would be to have a championship team and a team that's the odds-on favorite to win it again, and then have that season not get to go.
That or rewind, and you're the week before the Super Bowl, you don't get to play it, and then we don't even have a Super Bowl championship in Kansas City. That would have been Chief-like as well.
Sure.
Man, well, let's start with Chris Jones and his deal. I never thought that $85 million would seem like nothing, but that's what it seems like after Mahomes' contract extension, which we'll get to in a moment. But I want to start with the most recent one. Chris Jones, 4-year, $80 million, max value $85 million. He can get $5 million in incentives with sack totals. You know, it's interesting because I've kind of gone back and forth on this myself. I am a little bit concerned about the Chiefs and spending a lot of money on a few players. At the same time, these players are in their prime. Mahomes, 24, Jones, 25. And it's also, I've heard you say many times, why do we care? It's not our money, which is true. But I'm also, as a Chiefs fan, worried about wanting to be good for a very long time. And I know the Chiefs, that's their plan as well. Brett Veach and Andy Reid, they're not going to mortgage the future over a couple of contracts. They have a plan, and they're smarter than you and I. But just your thoughts on the Chris Jones deal. Did you think it was going to get done, or did you think the Chiefs were going to go ahead and just, you know, live through a year with a franchise tag and then maybe deal with it in the offseason? Were you surprised that they got a deal done, and are you happy with the deal that was done?
You know, I think a lot to unpack there, because I think, you know, no, I did not think it was going to get done. If you rewind back to the beginning of last year, if you rewind back to just after the Super Bowl, I you know, the timeline that happens, I don't think you can talk Chris Jones without talking Patrick Mahomes, because the timeline that usually happens with the quarterbacks, at least the new precedent that's been set with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, the guys that were in the draft class ahead of Patrick Mahomes, was that you negotiate through training camp and you get the deal done right before the regular season. That was the timeline that I expected to happen with Patrick Mahomes, which was going to mean that you were going to go right past the July 15th deadline for Chris Jones. And for me, it was going to be battery and backwards if you signed Jones and then Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I know that's the way that the traditional timeline has worked, get that franchise guy done, then get around to the other contract. But Mahomes, we knew, was a unique animal, right? We knew that this is something that had never been seen before, and the contract was going to be significantly bigger. It was going to take a big step forward, and credit to the organization for how unique and how much they were willing to expand and go into a whole new universe of contracts that the NFL had never been to, and for getting the most important guy done first. And by getting Mahomes done first, that's what then they knew what they had, and they knew how to put together an offer for Chris Jones. You couldn't do Chris Jones first. So, no, I didn't think this was going to happen. I talked to people back around draft time and been told that, yes, they could get an extension done with Patrick Mahomes and carry Chris Jones on the franchise tag, but it was going to be tight. It's essentially what they're doing is Mahomes is playing on a new contract that is basically the same money that he was going to get before it. And the $16 million first-year salary and no signing bonus for Chris Jones means the money they're allocating to him this year is essentially the same as had he been on that franchise tag. So that information was true. I think it's when the Mahomes deal got done and you realized how much he had backloaded the actual cash, not even just the cap hit, the actual cash at a time that the NFL has an uncertain future. Mahomes basically took $5 million when most guys would be grabbing a $40, $45 million signing bonus, and he didn't do that. He took only a $10 million signing bonus, and they spent the entire Mahomes press conference talking about how he made it a flexible deal to where they could sign other players. That was the green light on, okay, they now know what they've got in Mahomes. He's left them the ability to go get Chris Jones. And so now I think it's a possibility. So a week and a half ago when they signed Patrick Mahomes, that was the first time that I thought the Jones deal was a possibility.
Yep.
And I think the fact that Jones, in my opinion, backed up his demands a long way. I know he was asking for Aaron Donald money, which would have been a six-year, $135 million deal with $87 million guaranteed. Instead, he gets the four for 80. He gets $60 million guaranteed, which was the big number. Last year, the Chiefs had offered, and he turned down six for 100 with about $40 million guaranteed. It was the Chiefs getting up to $60 million, but it was Chris Jones backing off that Aaron Donald-like number, getting more of a DeForest Buckner contract. The numbers are similar in a lot of ways to that. That made him, you know, basically a contract that was appropriate for his abilities. You know, Aaron Donald is the Patrick Mahomes, the defensive lineman. He should be paid way more than everybody else, and this Chris Jones contract kept in line with that. And I think it was really Jones backing up and the Chiefs getting the deal done with Mahomes that allowed this to come together.
The question I have been posed with recently, because I have a few people here, because there for a while I was all for, with not knowing with everything with COVID-19 and who knows what the money situation is going to be, it made sense to take care of Mahomes. I thought it also made sense, even before the Mahomes deal was done, that you just go ahead and sit tight with the franchise tag with Jones, and then you deal with it next offseason. And that's kind of the camp that I was in. And then I had a few people here recently after the deal was done, and they said, do you really need Chris Jones at that price tag to win another Super Bowl? And I said, well, he did play very well in the Super Bowl, but the Chiefs also won without him against Deshaun Watson and the Texans when they were down 24-0. What about that question? Because I think it's not as simple as it may seem.
No, it's not. And listen, if you were to ask me, were I the general manager, would I have done this deal? No, I wouldn't. I would have let Chris Jones. I would have tried to trade him, and I think the Chiefs were willing to listen to offers at the trade deadline. I think this is an important part of the equation to understand. There were zero offers. There have been no offers for Chris Jones. Once the reality of the virus started to set in and the distinct possibility of having either no fans or no season, there was no team out there that was going to be willing to give up high draft picks and then heap a massive contract that was going to strap them against a cap that they don't even know what the number is going to be. And so once the trade market dried up, the Chiefs were left with, you know, play him on the 16. He was adamant he was going to hold out. Would he have? I don't know. I thought he was going to hold out. Now that he signed, I think, no, he wasn't going to hold out. And I think he did the right thing in this environment when it's all said and done from a financial standpoint for his family. But, you know, I think you could have walked on Chris Jones. You're right. The Chiefs are you know, 1-1 without Chris Jones. You know, when it comes to 1-0 without Chris Jones in the postseason over the last 2 years. They're 3-1 with him. All right, so they can win postseason games. And my point to that would be, and listen, I'm not upset that Chris Jones is with the Chiefs. I think it's great. It's a unique strategy. It's definitely not the Patriots strategy.
No.
They've got like stars and Jags, just guys, right? They've got a bunch of stars that they're going to pay handily, and then they're going to have to find a way to really fill in around those guys. And that's not how the Patriots did it. They really would pay only Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski on this go-round top dollars, and everybody else they would turn and burn. If you have the quarterback, you're a player, you're a contender, you can win every year. And I think the key for me would have been to have that salary cap flexibility, and let's try to win as many as we can over the next 5 years. I think the Chiefs are trying to win this year and next year, and it's going to be a tough year in 2023. There's going to be a step back. So I think there's two ways to do it. The Chiefs are going for it. They're putting the pedal down right now. They'll still be good without Chris Jones, and when they have to take some serious cuts, coming up in 22 and 23 on that salary cap. Even next year, there's going to be serious cuts for this team. They'll still be good because they have Patrick Mahomes. To me, I would try to have had more flexibility moving forward. But Jones has now got to deliver, as do all the other guys that are paid the big bucks. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Eric Fisher, Mitchell Schwartz, Anthony Hitchens, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu. Those are the guys getting paid. Everybody else is really on a team-friendly deal, either because they haven't gotten to free agency or they're just guys that don't demand the big dollars, can't demand the big dollars. And it's going to be really interesting, I think, to watch and see. Maybe this is the new way to win Super Bowls. Maybe this is a better way than what the New England Patriots have done. But they're going to have to be really good in the draft. They're going to have to be really good in their pro player personnel because, you know, the 7-8 guys that I named, that's not enough to win a championship. You've got to have talent across the board.
I agree. Sir and Petra, 810 WHB, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City, host of the program weekdays from 2 to 6, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. All right, let's go to the Mahomes contract. And by the way, I agree with you on the Chris Jones thing. I thought it just made sense to tag him and live with it for a year, especially with the unknowns that we just discussed. But the Chiefs went with it, so we'll see how it plays out. Mahomes contract, you kind of touched upon it and how it was put together. The numbers, I went through this with people out here. Well, Mahomes needs to take less money so he can make everything work. He needs to take less than $40 million. We were talking $40, $45 million, maybe $50 million when this was all being discussed months ago. And I said, listen, he's already taken less money. Look at how much money he's made the first 2 years. And all he did was win the MVP of the league and Super Bowl MVP and lead his team to a Super Bowl championship. So the way I looked at it was he was severely underpaid and has been being underpaid the first 2 years. He needs to get his money, and he's going to get his money no matter what. Well, now we know he is going to get his money. What about the bar that was set for the rest of the league and the quarterback market with the contract Mahomes signed?
If you talk to the guys like Eric Eager at Pro Football Focus, who's a brilliant guy and does the math and the analytics, I asked him on a $200 million cap, what is Patrick Mahomes worth, right? And 200 is about what the cap is right now. Mm-hmm. So what's his real worth, right? He said $80 million. All right, so what Patrick Mahomes, you know, I mean, rule of thumb, you can do some quick math there. You know, having a great quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or having this quarterback is worth 40% of your team. Right, he is the bulk of your team. He is the most important piece. He's more important than Andy Reid. We know. We've seen Andy Reid with other quarterbacks, and it returns good results, very good results, but not great results. All right, so the most important piece, the foundation of what is success, is not where you save. You don't save on Patrick Mahomes. The second most important piece is Andy Reid. You don't skimp there either. I've never understood why the guy who's singularly the most responsible for winning a championship is the guy that's supposed to take a pay cut. You know who I think should take a pay cut? Anthony Hitchens should take a pay cut. Travis Kelce, Austin Reeder.
Tardif.
You know, I truly believe that the Chiefs are overpaying a lot of other guys. They're not overpaying Patrick Mahomes, and they should not underpay Mahomes. Now, for the market, the way it's been established and how people pay, Mahomes has got the best contract ever. But he is still vastly underpaid based upon what his real value is to the team. And it's everybody around him who should be taking a pay cut for the privilege of playing with the guy who gives anyone in the NFL the best chance to win a Super Bowl. So talk of Mahomes taking less is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fundamentally ridiculous. And in these politically charged times, it's the epitome of communism or socialism. So if you like to throw that word around, understand that that's what you're asking. You're asking the most important piece to take less, which is just stupid. Okay, so Mahomes should be paid, then you figure out everybody else. And that's the credit to Brett Veach. He did that. He took care of Mahomes, and then he figured everybody else out. And Mahomes, even from the standpoint of he should take less, he has taken vastly less. Dak Prescott's going to get $31 million this year. Patrick Mahomes is going to put away about $15.5 million, $10 million in a signing bonus, and $5.5 million in real salary. He is taking less. He could have demanded $50, $60, $70 million in a signing bonus, which right now there's no cash flow for the Chiefs. If they don't have fans, they're going to lose upwards of, for them, what's 20-25% league average, 33% of their revenue. And, of course, if they don't play games, they're going to lose 100%. So he gave them the ability, the flexibility, cash flow-wise, to not only sign Chris Jones, but also just to make it through these difficult times in a lot better financial shape. He pushed back a lot of the money he's going to make. And so Patrick Mahomes did take less, because money you get now that can be invested and that you can handle is a lot more valuable than money you're going to get 2 and 3 and 4 years from now. And that's not to say that the Chiefs shouldn't be commended, because they should. They have guaranteed him more money than anyone's ever been guaranteed at $149 million. And in about 9 months, maybe it's even 7 or 8 months now, he's going to be guaranteed another $40 million. 12 months after that, another $40 million. So this very quickly is going to be close to $230 million guaranteed in less than 2 years. As long as he can stand, he's going to get that extra money. So what they've done is said, listen, we're going to guarantee you a lot more money than anybody's ever guaranteed. Just wait a little bit. Be patient for us. It'll help us sign talent now, but it also helps us with the bottom line, really, in signing everybody, keeping everybody that's being paid right now, and keeping the organization healthy. And Patrick Mahomes did that. So there's no reason for any Chiefs fan to be anything but grateful towards the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, because both sides did exactly what was best for winning football games in Kansas City.
All right, so the next big contract, if the Chiefs can swing it, will be who? You know, if Kelce is 30 years of age, I don't know. If it depends on what he would do if we have a season this year, because he'd be going into his final year, I believe, next season after this one, if I got that right. Tyrann Mathieu, of course, 3-year deal in free agency. This will be year number 2, and most people would agree that he's maybe the most important player on the defense, not Chris Jones. Charvarius Ward will be a restricted free agent in 2021. Of course, he's going to get money because he had a good year last year, and guys that are 25, 26 that can cover are hard to come by at times in the National Football League. So who's the next guy in line to get a big payday from the Chiefs, or are the Chiefs tied because of the contracts they have to where they might not be able to do anything with any of them?
Well, I think the guy, whoever's going to get the next payday, he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? That's definitely going to be where he comes from. It's not going to come from the outside. And I think that's something fans need to understand, that they're spent, right? They're done as far as being able to buy anyone on the outside. And frankly, they're done probably with the big ticket guys. Now, I can see a Travis Kelce who's got 2 years left on his deal. I can see a renegotiation with him to bring the number down, but extend him out and give him more money in the long run, but give the Chiefs more flexibility right now. Tyrann Mathieu's a prime candidate as well. His number goes to almost $20 million next year. So I think if he is with the Chiefs next year, and of course everybody wants him to be with the Chiefs next year, then I think you'll probably see some kind of renegotiation there. So those are a couple of big ticket items. Mitchell Schwartz, they're kind of tacking on an extra year each season, so there's probably that looming out there somewhere. Eric Fisher is a guy who could get a renegotiation and some more years added on to his deal because he's only 29 years old. Frank Clark's already moved some money around in his deal to make things work. But if you're looking for a guy who's not making the big money to get paid, I think that's probably Charvarius Ward. I mean, he really stepped up last year as a corner. He's got this year and next left on his contract. But I think if you're trying to lock up all the young players and give yourself as much flexibility as possible, I think Charvarius Ward's probably the next guy that contract comes around to.
So after mentioning all of that, who do you think could perhaps be the biggest loser in regards to someone on the Chiefs team that would certainly like to stay with the Chiefs? Obviously, who wouldn't want to stay on the Chiefs, have a chance to win rings with Patrick Mahomes? But somebody's going to have to be expendable here, right?
Everybody that I didn't name that wasn't drafted this year or last year, right? That's everybody else is in danger. Look, I mean, the reality for the Chiefs is they've got a lot of money tied up in their salary cap going over the next couple of years. And, you know, Chris Jones is slated, you know, his deal is unique in the sense that next year he's going to get $1 million. He's got a $20 million roster bonus. So $1 million in base salary, $20 million roster bonus that they can convert to a signing bonus because he got no signing bonus this year. If they do that, they can prorate that over 3 years and bring his cap number down. I expect that to happen. And so that's where they're at. Like, there really isn't any room. They're at that $21 million number for next year. They're at about $196 million against a cap that most people think is going to stay stagnant and right around $200 million again next year. So think about that. They have no guard, center, or guard signed for next year. Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson are gone. They lose one of their linebackers, two of their defensive linemen. They've got a lot of pieces to replace and really no money to do it. So they're going to have to get creative somewhere. I think Anthony Hitchens is the guy. This year he's really the same to cut as keep, but next year he becomes cuttable. I think that will happen. I think they've got to look in another direction for a linebacker. And then I think some of those bigger contracts like we talked about, the guys they want to keep will get extended to create some, to carve out some room and try to make things a little bit easier for them to handle. I think Tyrann Mathieu being the biggest example of them, probably giving him, you know, $19 million in a signing bonus and then prorating that out over multiple years. So he gets the same amount of cash. They keep him longer and they keep him and they get their salary cap space back. But it's going to be very tight for the next 2 years, and the Chiefs are going to have to get really creative.
I know this may come out of left field for you, but it's something that I brought up the other day, and that is Kareem Hunt. This is a hypothetical here. Kareem Hunt being kicked off the team, was that a blessing in disguise? Not necessarily from a team chemistry standpoint, because we know the Chiefs won a Super Bowl and almost made it to the Super Bowl the year they basically got kicked off the team. But what I want to look at is if Kareem Hunt was a model citizen, didn't get in any kind of trouble, and was still on this team, he would be looking at a big deal probably if he kept performing the way he was. And if that would have happened, the Chiefs would have probably had to make some kind of decision with Hunt maybe versus Chris Jones or other situations in regards to contracts. And you know what the public opinion would be. You go with the sexy player, and you go with that running back, which, you know, I still don't think the Derrick Henry deal is the best thing for the Titans, and that's great because I'm a Chiefs fan, and I think that's going to blow up in their face. I think Ezekiel Elliott's contract eventually is going to blow up in their face. We saw Todd Gurley's blow up in the Rams' face. But what about that part of it that maybe that was a blessing in disguise in more ways than one?
You know, I think there's a lot of history to revise right there to talk about that scenario.
Sure.
But, you know, starting with number one, you know, if we're talking about, you know, him being a model citizen, right, that Kareem Hunt would have to have been a model citizen for the Chiefs to sign him. I think they knew what they had on their hands when they drafted him. I think uh-huh. That's why he was there in the third round, and they knew he was an at-risk player. There were all kinds of red flags around him. I remember talking to friends of mine that are personnel departments and other teams, and I always go to them and say, okay, tell me what you think about all these guys from the Chiefs, right? And they're like, there's a lot of flags around that guy, which you didn't really hear at draft time, but it was pretty well known that, you know, this was a guy that's going to be a handful and you got to really take care of him. So I think the Chiefs liked him in the third round, liked him on his first contract, and probably never had any intention of paying him again. But in the scenario you talked about, you know, if he is, you know, the Patrick Mahomes type of player off the field and in the locker room that you can really count on, I think it would have been a difficult decision, but I think one that they would have come to that the running backs, the attrition rate on running backs is too much. And I think that the Chiefs understand that they can find a guy. I think Andy Reid has proven he can find a guy. You know, Jamal Charles, he inherited, and since then we've seen Spencer Wares and Charcandrick West and, you know, guys that, you know, they could find just about anywhere. So I don't think they would have gone down that road. I think they may have tried to trade him. You know, I think that's one of the things about Chris Jones in this scenario is, like I said, there was no trade offers. I mean, I think plan A may have been, if he won't take the deal we want to give him, we're going to trade him. And plan A for Chris Jones may have been, like, I got to get the biggest payday I can, and if they trade me, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we did not have a pandemic, Chris Jones very likely wouldn't have been here. But once the possibility of trading him ended, I think Chris Jones had to go to plan B, and I think the Chiefs had to go to plan B. And I think the same thing was true with Kareem Hunt. I think their intention was to play him, maybe trade him, or let him walk in free agency and take the compensation pick. And really his inability to keep himself you know, on the straight and narrow forced their hand early. So I think they knew what they had in him. I don't think there would have been a second contract. I think ideally he would have played good football and you would have traded him for a handful of draft picks that would have enabled you to go out and draft well. And that's one of the things, listen, as the Chiefs move forward, we have not seen Brett Veach trade down once. And I find it hard to believe, and I'm a big fan of Brett Veach, and I think he, you know, in putting this team back together, he's clearly the front runner for executive of the year in the NFL with what he's done and maybe deserved that award for last year as well. But, you know, he's going to have to shift gears. Mm-hmm. And they need draft picks. They need cheap players to go around all these big contracts. And so he needs to look at getting more draft picks and trading down and maybe trading players for picks, which he's done, right? He did with Dee Ford. But he's going to need to get more draft capital, take more shots in the draft to make sure that he's got more cheap players. And what would be nice if guys like Kareem Hunt don't get in trouble to where you can spin them and get some more draft assets.
Zoran Petro, 810 WHB Kansas City, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. The Chiefs offseason so far, I saw this post, I think, by Field Yates on Twitter, and I'll go through what he mentioned, but then I'll add something to it. How good has the Chiefs offseason been? They signed the star of the show and the league, the face of the league and the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, 10-year extension on top, 2 years remaining. So they got him for 12 years, locked him up. Chris Jones, we already documented that. 20 of 22 Super Bowl starters returning. And as you point out, it's almost like they have 22 returning, all 22. Entire coaching staff intact. Eric Bieniemy is still there. 5 of the top 6 rushers back, 8 of the top 9 receivers back from a Super Bowl winning team, 6 of the top 7 offensive linemen return, and they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who could be a great weapon in this offense. Now here's where I'm going to add, and you might add as well. Plus, the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins to the NFC. The Titans hitched their wagon to Ryan Tannehill. They just signed Derrick Henry, a 4-year deal, $50 million, $25.5 guaranteed. And the Patriots, who I wasn't overly worried about last year as much as some people were, they lost Tom Brady. Now Cam Newton's the quarterback in New England. Could the Chiefs' offseason have gone much better?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think Phillip Rivers landing in Indianapolis, if there's anything left in the tank, I think the Colts have a good roster, and they're a team to watch. The Ravens had a great offseason. I like what they did in the draft and in free agency. They made their defense even better with Calais Campbell, and there's a reason to believe that Lamar Jackson will be even better this year and needs to be, frankly, throwing the football, because that's what ultimately cost them, was they couldn't come from behind. They're a team that's played, that's built to play from in front, and when they do play from in front, they're a really difficult team to beat. So, but to your point, no. I mean, I think I don't know how you could sit here as a football fan of any kind and a fan of any team in the AFC and not look out and say the Chiefs' path to the Super Bowl got easier. And listen, the best way to win championships is to get to the championship game.
Yeah.
Right? The more you can get there, the more Super Bowls you can win. That starts by being able to get through the AFC, and really it starts by being able to win the division. And what's to think that the AFC West got appreciably better? Tyrod Taylor takes over with the Chargers. You know, there's upside with Drew Locke for the Denver Broncos, but there's downside as well. They don't know what they have, but maybe they've got the quarterback spot right. There's no upside with Derek Carr. There's maybe a little bit that John Gruden can work some kind of Rich Gannon magic with Marcus Mariota, so maybe there's some upside there at the quarterback spot. But the reality is, the best owner in the AFC West is in Kansas City. The best general manager is in Kansas City. The best head coach is in Kansas City. And the best quarterback is in Kansas City. And that's true for the entire AFC, with the exception of maybe Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft. I know he's kind of a mess away from the field, but Bob Kraft's been willing to write the checks and empower Bill Belichick to do things. Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick as a coach and GM are the only true rivals to any one of those things. So at best, you're second in the AFC at those positions, but you are number one with a bullet with the most important part, and that's the quarterback. And no, I don't think Tannehill and ground and pound is a threat year after year for the Tennessee Titans. Yes, it's a tough spot. If you turn the ball over a couple of times and the Titans get you down, they can lean on you, but they had the Chiefs down by 10 points and couldn't finish the deal. So, no, I think there's nothing to fear if you're a Chiefs fan, except for teams that go to back-to-back Super Bowls over the last 10, 12 years, the Seahawks, the Patriots, you know, not winning them, but just getting there in back-to-back seasons, have generally turned over 6 to 8 starters in each of those years, or have turned over between 6 and 8 starters in every one of those years. And I do wonder if having some new blood that's hungry and doesn't have a ring is part of the key to getting back there. That like, it sounds great, continuity, continuity, continuity. We've heard that a million times. But in reality, is some hunger, a fire in the belly, and a thirst to win your first championship, is that something that every locker room could use, an injection that every locker room needs to win another championship? We'll find out, right? Health always plays a role. Schedule, do teams play up or down from what their expectations were? That will play a role. But we've got to find out if this team has the fire in their belly to go out and compete throughout the course of the regular season, because that's the toughest part, is the 16 games. It's staying sharp, mm-hmm. keeping that edge to where you win the games to put yourself in position, in the best position to go through the playoffs. The Patriots could do it. We're going to find out if the Chiefs can.
Yeah, excellent point. Some of the, you know, you see it in the longer seasons too, and in NBA and Major League Baseball, where players kind of just get bored until the postseason starts or until late in the season. Couple more before we let you go. Seren Petro, 810 WHB, Kansas City, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So, Mahomes, he's going to be with the Chiefs for the next 12 years. He'll be 35, close to 36 when his contract runs out. God willing, he stays healthy during that time. Of course, many teams in the league are probably hoping that he does get hurt. But assuming that he stays healthy for the next 12 years, how many more, and I'm talking on top of what they already have, how many more Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl wins do you think the Chiefs get during those 12 years with Mahomes under contract?
Yeah, you know, I think I've asked that question a number of times. Like, what do people expect? Like, what's going to make this contract a success? And, you know, everybody's kind of got their own answer. And it's a difficult, you know, thing to try to figure out because there's so many variables outside of Patrick Mahomes. The most important one is his health, right? Then secondly is Andy Reid's health. He's only 61 years old, but is he going to stay sharp? And how long is he going to be the head coach? Because if he's not, and they try to move on, then there's a big decision for Brett Veach and Clark Hunt to make as to who replaces him. So there's a lot of variables there. But, you know, again, 40% of the equation is the quarterback, and they've got that part figured out right now. And as we said, they're the front runner. They're the favorite right now. So I think. You know, you should expect them to be a strong contender, maybe 30, 35, 40% chance, which is probably high. I mean, mathematicians will tell you 20% chance that the Chiefs win it this year. I think that number goes down next year with their cap issues. It goes down even more in 23 and 22, but then starts going back up after that when the new TV money comes in. So I would say, you know, are we asking to expect or am I being asked to predict?
Predict.
My prediction is that they will make it four more times, and that's bullish. And again, that's bucking the math,
right,
to get there. But my prediction is that they will make it four more times, and that they will win it two more. Right, you're going to be playing a good team, say a coin flip. I'd put the over under on if they make it four times at 2.5. So let's be bold. Let's be Chiefs fans. Let's say they win three more and they make it four more times.
You know, that is insane because that's exactly how I answered the question the other day when we talked about it.
Great minds think alike, my friend.
I guess so. And you know what's really weird, and I said this to Dusty, is I almost feel guilty not going higher. And that sounds so stupid because, as you said, the odds and the percentages are against even what you and I just predicted. But yet everything that Mahomes has done so far is every single time, well, no team has come back from 24-0 a playoff game, and this team hasn't done this, and they can't do back-to-back double-digit deficits, and no quarterback, his first-year starter, has even come close to throwing for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, and then he's going to regress the next year. And it's just like these numbers and these the history of the league, and nobody's done this, nobody's done that. And every single time you hear that, the Mahomes and the Chiefs just blow that thing to smithereens. It doesn't matter because the past is the past, all right? This is a generational, once-in-generation talent that maybe I'm foolish for being saying only four more appearances and three more Super Bowl wins. Maybe we should be even more bullish, but I hesitate to do that because then it's like, oh, you guys have just lost your minds. You're drinking too much of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I think it's new territory for all of us to root for a team that has the ultimate weapon, right? You know, I refer to Patrick Mahomes kind of as the Death Star. You know that line in Star Wars where there's that cocky general sitting there in the boardroom, and he says, "This battle station is now the ultimate power in the universe, and I suggest we use it."
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I feel like. That's what I think Clark Hunt and Andy Reid have to feel like, is that they have the ultimate power in the universe, and let's use it. And so I think there is, yes, there are things that have never been done, but this guy's already checking off the list, things that have never been done. You know, I talked about Tom Brady. I remember when he was 38. And Peyton Manning as well, when he was getting to that age, saying, listen, no quarterback that's 38 years old has ever won more than this many games, and mm-hmm. no quarterback that's 38 years old has ever, you know, thrown this, more than this many touchdowns. And I said, but all that being said, no one up to the age of 37 has done what Peyton Manning's done, has done what Tom Brady has done. So there's reason to believe that whatever the best of the best has been to this point, they're going to top it. Now, they're not going to double it, but they're going to top it. So for everything that's gone before Patrick Mahomes, based on his age, based on his contract, based on the cap room. Like, that's a big one, is no quarterback that's ever taken up more than, you know, 13.1% of the cap. Steve Young in 94 is the high water mark, and since then, it's Tom Brady at 12% or so. He's won. And Eli Manning at right around 12%. That's the highest point in somewhere, I think, in around the year three or year four. Mahomes is going to go to like 16 or 17% of what the expected cap is going to be. So, listen, it will be tougher. That's what that math tells us, is that it will be harder. Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and everybody around Patrick Mahomes has to be better than what they were last year for the Chiefs to win. That doesn't mean they can't do it. Yep. It just means they're going to have to do other things better. And because Patrick Mahomes has done all these things that no one else has ever done, 5,050 at the age that he did it in his first year, rookie of the year in his first year as a starter, all these different numbers, there's reason to believe that if anybody is going to win a Super Bowl taking up 15 or 16 or 17 or 18% of the salary cap, his name is Patrick Mahomes. So, yes, it gets harder. There's no way around it. It's not easier with him making more money. It absolutely gets harder. It's why it was critical for the Chiefs to cash and get at least one while his number was low. And I can't fault, even though I said earlier, and I stand by it, that I would not have signed Chris Jones, I cannot fault the path that they're taking by signing Chris Jones, because they are pushing all their chips in and saying, we're going to do everything we can to win as much as we can while Patrick's number is low. And that's really the next two seasons. And I think there's every reason to believe, listen, what's the alternative? Did you want to cut him and roll the dice and draft somebody, take a shot that Justin Herbert, trade up and get Justin Herbert? You know, listen, you had no choice. This was the path you were going to take. This is what it takes to sign him. You're a better team week in, week out with him, and now you just have to be better. I don't know why in this country today we can't just say to ourselves, okay, I've done pretty well, but now I have to do better. Mm-hmm. You know, as a country, I think looking at the way people view Patrick Mahomes is kind of a snapshot of how we do things in this country. We're living on the accomplishments of those that came before us, right? We're a bunch of lazy individuals that have had it really good, and we love to brag about how we're the greatest country, but nobody wants to roll up their sleeves and do the work to keep it the greatest country. And we live off the backs of those that went and fought in World War II and went through the Great Depression and did all these things. You know, it's time for us to roll up our sleeves and actually do what it takes to be great as a nation. It's the same thing. It's time for the Chiefs to roll up their sleeves. They've had the ultimate, you know, ace in the hole in Patrick Mahomes making no money. Now they simply have to roll up their sleeves and be better. And no talking and no BSing around it is going to change that. That's what they have to do. And to the credit of Andy Reid and Brett Veach, they know it and they're willing to do it.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Is there any outfit that Patrick Mahomes wore in the GQ Future article that you, that you, Sarin Petro, no, could pull off and not look like a stooge?
No. No way. Listen, and here's to say that a couple of them, I'm not so sure that Patrick Mahomes pulled off and didn't look like a stooge. I'm not sure what that, you know, floral jacket thing was.
Yeah,
that
was
different.
Yes.
I don't know that anybody pulls that off. Yeah. But, you know, put a check mark next to star player in Kansas City, cover of GQ. That doesn't happen unless Patrick Mahomes goes to town. But he's about as cool as it gets. From the slick haircut to the unique voice, you know, to the fact that he's built like a linebacker, you know, not some spindly, you know, sickly looking guy like Tom Brady, Tom Brady is not a good-looking guy, right? He's just a successful guy that has a lot of power, and everybody, jumps on board. Patrick Mahomes with the, the bright eyes and the slick hair and everything else, that is cool, and Patrick Mahomes is the only guy that can pull off some of those outfits.
Sarin Petro, the breaking news, Tom Brady is not a good-looking guy. I love it. That's the type of
material.
I
read a scientific study that proved it.
Oh.
They showed Tom Brady to people who had no idea who he was, and asked who are the attractive people amongst all these different folks, and Tom Brady did not score any better than average. It's because he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback that has a superstar model wife that we just go ahead and decide, oh, he must be good looking. It's just a psychological ploy.
Well, better Tom than you or me in that lineup for people to look at. I will say
that's
that.
Right.
We have Faces for Radio. All right, let everybody know how they can hear your show, my friend.
Yeah, you can catch us 810 WHB if you're in Kansas City, or catch us on our 810 app or at 810WHB.com.
Always a pleasure, and stay safe, stay healthy, and say hi to the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much for having me. You do the same.
Seren Petro, 810 WHB. You can hear him Fridays, as he said, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, I should say, and today as well, on Friday, July the 17th, on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City.